First down.
Tom Thibodeau, 255, 138, was his record in five seasons here. He was dismissed by the organization on yesterday. Jerry Reinsdorf released a statement, and I think we should start right there. A lot of people are talking about his statement being very poignant, but a little bit maybe misguided as far as the way he handled the situation. I want to get you guys' thoughts on Jerry Reinsdorf's statement and whether or not you thought it was a little bit too much, a little bit too mean to Tom Thibodeau on the way out the door.
No, I think it was a very clear answer to the question, why is he being let go? Because oftentimes I feel like when organizations make statements, it's so general and it keeps it surface level and just confusing enough that they answer the question without really answering the question. And what this says is exactly what we heard all season long about the hype that there was this conspiracy theory and information was being so closely guarded inside the Bulls coaching staff, their offices, and they would turn fans on to try and disrupt conversations because they thought their offices were being bugged. This is his answer to those statements. It's him saying, hey, I don't know what you think we're doing, but maybe we are bugging you, maybe we aren't, but we shouldn't need to. We should be able to share communication and information about strategy, about playing time, minutes, who looks good, who looks bad, defense, offense, all of those things, whereas some other organizations maybe that he came from, Thibs, would think, well, let me do my thing, you do your thing. You be the owner, you be that guy, be the face, let me behind the scenes do my thing and keep those departments separate. So that is a fundamental difference. And in a relationship, if you can't work through that and get the other person to bend and to share information with you that you want, you got to draw a line in the sand and say, we're done.
So you're basically looking at Tibbs just being a little bit too stubborn for his own good.
But I think you have to be stubborn if you're a coach because you have to be the alpha male. You know, you have to set the philosophy for the team. I mean, Greg Popovich is the same personality.
I agree.
You know, and as much as I can't stand the way he treats sideline reporters, I'd play for him. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't anybody? So I think it was a case of just personality clash, and then that led to this inner philosophy of, hey, what are you working on over there? It's like, you're not looking at my paper.
Yeah, shocking. This is Reinsdorf pretty much shooting off.
Yeah.
And we never hear from him. Twice. But Tom Thibodeau, and he shot off at a columnist here in Chicago.
But other than that, when the whole Jordan thing went down, right, it was a very quiet situation. Is that how? Okay, that's what people expected this time.
Well, I mean,
so it's interesting.
If you like, think back to when Vinny Del Negro was let go. You know, it was just like a pretty blanket, very vanilla, you know, press release that came out. Vinny Del Negro was relieved of his duties today. This is his record in Chicago, yada, 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 yada. When they let Ozzie go, you know, Reinsdorf, he actually interjected like he did with the Tibbs situation, but it was very nice, you know what I mean? But
Ozzie,
you know,
was family.
Ozzie was family. Ozzie had won a World Series
title.
And we all know that Jerry Reinsdorf has seven championship titles, but only one means the most to him, and that's that World Series thing. With Thibodeau, I think he was very angry because he hired Tom Thibodeau.
This is one of the things that we chopped up.
Yeah,
and we can get into this because it's almost like, you know, I'm not trying to make it sound like organized crime or anything,
right,
but it was almost like Tibbs vouched for, I mean, not Tibbs, but Reinsdorf vouched for Tibbs when Gar Pax didn't want to bring him back 2 years ago.
Right. I mean, but that was his guy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Reinsdorf brought him in. And Tibbs knew that Reinsdorf was on his side. But I think where he miscalculated was that he didn't think Reinsdorf would fire him. And if Reinsdorf was upset about, you know, the Jeff Van Gundy thing, or even the Woj article in Yahoo Sports, for Van Gundy, if Tibbs put him up to saying that, I think it was really and truly only meant to be a dig at Gar Pax. I think Jeff Gundy kind of took it a little bit higher than where Tibbs really intended for it to go, if that's what happened. And that's what pissed Reinsdorf off, because he knew that, you know, he had rode with Tibbs. You know, when they didn't want to extend him, Reinsdorf was the one to say, hey, you know, y'all got to get this done. Like, we got to work this out. Reinsdorf, he may be a baseball guy, but he likes to win, too. And Tibbs best coach they've had since they let Phil Jackson go. So I think what Tibbs did, you know, in terms of if he did get Jeff Van Gundy to speak for him, I don't think he really meant to go at Reinsdorf. I think he really intended to go at Gar Pax. But it kind of, obviously, if you go at them, you're going at his right. You know, you're going at the owner. So
I have to say, sitting in that seat where that Jeff does on a much smaller scale, I guess, than the NBA, there's no way, unless he felt that himself, like, nobody would ever come and say to me, I would like for you to, no matter who, if it was my best friend, if my best friend was like, hey, can you, you know, have my back on the air? Can you go out? I would feel so awkward at that moment. I'd be like, oh, probably not.
Yeah.
Because that's himself. That's his career. That's his personality. That's his persona. Everything, his reputation on the line. So I think it's his buddy. And, you know, over a couple glasses of wine, they probably really got into it. And Jeff was probably like, I'm going to say something tomorrow. I'm going to say something. And then
Jeff,
when the moment was
talking,
right,
I think,
and
that's
Jeff
what,
was still talking.
Still,
you know,
talking.
And I think that's exactly what happened. I don't think Tibbs really and truly,
I can't see that out of him, right?
Intended for that to happen.
Yeah.
But Van Gundy, I mean, you got to
think. But
it's
a bad look for, you can't.
Definitely.
Can't do
it.
But
you got to think, they got a history. You know, Van Gundy used to coach the Knicks. Bulls used to always beat up on him. Van Gundy coached Miami. He was in Miami, right? Yeah, the Bulls used to beat up on him,
too. So he has an axe to grind.
So he has an axe to grind against the Bulls and Reinsdorf in general. Like, this is old. Like, this is old stuff. And I think he really and truly just took an opportunity to take a shot at the franchise, and, you know, he pounced on it.
Interesting question. Going from that,
pay for it.
Could Tibbs, post-game on the days after that, have softened the blow by saying, you know what, when asked by reporters, saying, man, you know what, I don't exactly agree with everything that Jeff said, but he's entitled to his opinion. I have nothing to do with that. To at least let Reinsdorf know, like, man, I'm not connected to this, or don't bunch me up with JVG.
But would you believe that, though?
If I was Reinsdorf, I probably wouldn't have.
So,
but for public perception, it would have helped
bit. Publicly, Tibbs has always kind of stayed, you know, he's always taken the high road on a lot of stuff. Now, I don't know if he personally called Jerry Reinsdorf and said, hey, you know what? I didn't have nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
I don't know if that happened. But even if it did, I don't think Reinsdorf would have bought it.
You said something right there. 5 seasons, for 4 of those seasons, I think it's safe to say that Tibbs is taking the high road.
Mm-hmm.
Did he allow Gar Pax to goad him into coming out of his character and playing their game?
I mean, I don't know if he really did. I mean, I think if Tibbs was out of character in any way, we saw it this season. You know, he wasn't that intense. The team didn't play with that same intensity. You know, he didn't really coach like, and we talked about this last time, I would say, he didn't really coach like he wanted to win. You know, and in that game 6 was very telling. That came up yesterday in the press conference. They really pissed off about that. And they should have been, you know, because this
I'm pissed
was
off I went.
Yeah.
I mean, wasted my time.
This is, you know, this was like, this was it. Like, this was that chance. Kevin Love gets down. Kyrie is hurt. You know, you're missing J.R. Smith for 2 games.
Pax mentioned that.
You know, this is your opportunity to finally get over the LeBron James hump. And I told you this the last time I was here. If Tibbs knew that he was going to be on the way out, he wasn't going to let those guys win the championship, man. And I think if that's what happened, looking back on it, like, I get it. But at the same time, it was like, you know, honestly and truly thought everybody wanted to win.
Before
I thought everybody
get the second down in the press conference, the mantra for Tibbs has always been, do your job.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like he failed to do that in the face of opposition and obstacles this season, coming from Gar Pax. Is it safe to say that he sold out his players?
Sold
looking
them out
at, how? Looking to establish his own personal agenda, in a sense? I mean, if you're telling your players to fight through everything and do your job no matter what, and you take time out from doing your job to have a public spat with Gar Pax and to set the tone for your agenda to be put out there just in case something happens to you.
But that's all part of your job.
Are you sacrificing your locker room and your players, especially if your players find out, man, you're leaking some of this information?
Well, I mean, leaks came from both sides. I think
absolutely
kind of know that.
Absolutely.
Already. I think what happened was Tibbs basically fell into that trap.
Hmm.
You know, he started to, some of the things that was coming out, I mean, he's got media guys too, man. And I mean, and any reporter, well, I'm sorry, no reporter is going to turn down information, especially coming from that high up.
Source that high up.
Yeah, nobody's going to do that.
I don't think he did anything outside of doing what he thought would get his team back together and on the right path. I saw him do things he's never done before, which is limit minutes this year. So he did bend on his philosophy somewhat. But I think the players needed public reassurance or private reassurance or both I mean, my whole thing is be the same person publicly or you are privately.
Right.
But you know that there had to be strategy involved with who you're telling what, because if you're consistently fighting against a message that people are trying to force on you that you know isn't true about yourself, at some point you're going to break.
You have a breaking point.
You're going to break. And you'll be like, okay, well, screw this. I'm going to go through my channel and get my message sent out that way. So at least I'm kind of starting to protect myself, because I guarantee you, once he knew that the end was near, your mind goes into protection mode and you start thinking ahead, as in, what's maybe my next job going to be? How do I need to start fixing things on my end, regaining my reputation? So of course he's going to do that. But it's just crazy to think that they couldn't settle that and look at winning, because the talent on this team was so ridiculous, and what he did with the amount of injuries this year and trying to bring, you know, Mirotić along, and nobody, I don't think, expected him to have the year he had, but some of us knew about Jimmy and the year he was going to have. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is an NBA championship caliber team. It really is. And it
Jimmy's
pisses me
guy.
Off they let it go.
I know from talking to you,
Jimmy's
your
boy.
Guy, and definitely from talking to Brian.
I called Jimmy Butler.
He's been calling Jimmy
Butler. Oh, you did?
Guy
oh,
for two
high
years.
Five on that.
Yeah. I called Jimmy Butler his second year in the league, and everybody called me crazy. I'm like, you know what? That
watch
guy right
him.
There, you got to watch him.
Got it in his
but
eyes.
But you know what, though? Let me say this about the minutes limit thing. And I really think this is where Tibbs was very calculating and vindictive in this. Like, obviously, they had minutes limits imposed on Derek and Joe King to kind of preserve them. And, you know, I think
they had the
really,
right to
yeah,
do that as an organization.
I think
we
all understood
on
that.
Right.
But I think Tibbs ran with that, man. Like, especially in, like, game six when he set Derek for basically, like, a quarter. You know what I'm saying? Like, he set Joe King down for a very long time, and he did that throughout the season. And it was almost like, okay, you don't want me to play these guys? Fine. I'm going to play them. And he left them on the bench. You know what I'm saying? It was like, it was a lot of back and forth, you know, tugging, you know what I'm saying, tug and pull going on that entire season. Like, you could see it. It was obvious. This was not the same team we'd seen the last 4 years.